But the research might not have been that there was no shear, but it might have been a topic that I discussed last year. So I can give another Hanukkah shear, but I'll have to fax in the Marmokomas tomorrow, and then you'll have them. Or I can give the shear and just add some things in of the Marmokomas that you have in front of you. They're both the other shear will be about Nes and Teva in general, and how we view Nes and Teva related to Hanukkah. Or we could do this the shear in front of you about Ner Hanukkah and Ner Mikdash. So I'm flexible, whichever. Let's just shut it back out. Do you have a new topic would you rather have, or you just would be either way, it's new. It'd be new for the Shana Aleph. Anyway, so you want the new? I'm going to fax in what?
Yeah.
You want the new? Okay, I feel bad because if you heard it from me last year, most of it. So let's again. So keep the Mar Makomos, near Hanukkah and near Mikdash, which is an important topic. It's all about the parallels between Hanukkah and the base of Mikdash, but. But we'll go to, I don't have any notes in front of me, but I just wrote down a couple of things, so you have to bear with me. Bear with me. Okay, so we talk about Hanukkah. With Hashem, we have just a couple of days to Hanukkah. We know, taking a step back even, there are a number of special numbers in Judaism. A number of special numbers. If I say the number 40, that's a special number in Yadus. What do you think of when you hear 40? Har Sinai,
Mabul.
So it's Sa'in and Mikvah, okay, 40 Sa'in and Mikvah, years in the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu three times, up on Har Sinai, the Mabul, 40 days before a baby's born, what? Ubar, 40 days for the so 40 is a special number. 3 is also a special number. Right, Ubar, not Uber. Okay. 3 is also a special number, as we know. There's many 3s. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. Many 3s. But probably the most unique and special numbers in Judaism, in Yadus, is the number 7 and its relationship to 8. 7, as we know, Shabbos is 7, Shemitah is 7, and Yovel is 7 cycles of Shemitah. 7 of the days of the Mida Araisa Yom Tovim, there are 7 days of Yantif Mida Araisa. 7 is a unique number, but as we know, so is 8. 8, Shmini Atzeres, Shavuos, Bris Milah, and Hanukkah. What is the relationship between these two numbers, and what does each one symbolize? The Maharal writes in a number of places, in Ner Mitzvah, his Sefer on Hanukkah, and elsewhere, that 7 symbolizes nature. Everything in nature. Most of the 7s have to do with the karka, have to do with Shemitah, have to do with Shabbos, is my sabracious. Even the 6, when you shake a lulav, you shake it in 6 directions, plus the midpoint anchor that holds all the 7 together. Every point in the physical world is 7. The midpoint plus 7 directions. There are 7 colors on a rainbow. Because it also, 7 is all about Teva. 8 is a step beyond Teva. 8 symbolizes the supernatural. Shmini Atzeres, after we celebrate a holiday, all about Teva, Sukkot, sitting in a sukkah made out of Teva, made out of Gidule Karka, shaking Dalin Minim. Then we have Shmini Atzeres beyond, none do Teva. No more Teva, no more sukkah, no more Dalin Minim, just Asana Kodesh Baruch. Shavuos, beyond 7 weeks. A Bris Milah, after a baby's boy has been alive for a week, 7, then beyond, we have 8. When he's supernaturally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's when we do his Bris Milah. So we have 7 and we have 8. And on the surface, if we think about it, 7 and 8 are two different ways that we view the world. We have Teva, and we see that clearly. Baruch Hinafshi, we say it every Rosh Chodesh. Baruch Hinafshi, next Shabbos and Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. Right, we win the jackpot this year. 3 Torahs next Shabbos. Right, you don't always have it. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah. So, 7 is Teva. We say Baruch Hinafshi. There is the natural realm, which we all are aware of. And there's also something very different called Nes, the miraculous. We know the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, there were 10 miracles that happened every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. That's Nes. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, if somebody passes by a nes, a place where a nes occurred, either personally or nationally, you have to make a bracha. Right? One of my members was in Hebron, Parshas Chayesara, right next to the boy, his good friend, he was a Shalvin boy, right, the Barakoff, right next to him when he got shot. So his father called me that night and said, "Does he bench Gomel?" I said, "Bench Gomel." He makes a bracha every single time for the rest of his life. He goes by that spot. So there's a concept called Nes. There's a concept called Teva. There's a concept called Nes, and we understand that. But if we dig down a little deeper, maybe it's not so pashut. Maybe these aren't two ways that we should view the world, but maybe there's only one way, and we have to view one in light of the other. We'll come back to Chanukah by the Shabbat at the end. And this is expressed beautifully in opposite directions by two of the great Rishonim. The Rambam and the Ramban. First, the Rambam. The Rambam, again, I'll tell you where the sources are, but you can feel free to look it up, but I'll try to fax in the sources tomorrow. The Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayos, in Pirkei Avos, and in Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam says there is really no such thing as the miraculous. Because after all, says the Rambam, creating a miracle would reflect an imperfection in the universe. The world is going. Hashem has to step in and change something. Hashem, oh no, I need to change the nature of water right now. I need to split the sea. I have to change something that would reflect an imperfection. The world is not perfect. And we believe the world is perfect. So what's a miracle, says the Rambam? Every single miracle was pre-programmed for my sabratius. And really, it's only looked at by us as a miracle because we're not used to it. But Hashem already pre-programmed for my sabratius that 99% of the time in history, water should have these properties. But in 1% of the times, it should have these properties. Normally, donkeys shouldn't talk. But I'm programming now that there's going to be one donkey that's going to talk in history. Every miracle, says the Rambam, was pre-programmed. There's a list of 10 miracles that were created, Bein Hashmashos, Pirkei Avos, right? The donkey and the be'er and the all the different miracles, Moshe Rabbeinu's kever, the shamir, the worm that cut rock. Says the Rambam, those are just examples. Really, every single miracle that takes place was pre-programmed from Maisa Bereishis. And if we think about this for a minute, what's the Rambam telling us? There's no such thing as Nes. It's all Teva. This Teva that we're used to, and this Teva that we're not used to. That's the Rambam's rationalist mentality, and it teaches us certain lessons. But most Rishonim don't say that. Yeah. The Rambam even limits what we even think is a miracle. He says some of them are even just visions. Right, the Rambam might not have even said that certain things even occurred. There wasn't malachim, it was a vision, and a chinam. But there's a problem. We know a number of mefarshim, there's a Ralbag in Sefer Shmuel, where the Pasuk tells us, Yoav tells his brother Avishai when he's going out to fight, Chazek minit chazek bi'arameinu, be strong. There's even like a bumper sticker. You can see it sometimes in Israel. Chazek minit chazek bi'arameinu, be strong. So the Rabbah says, you know why Yoav's telling his brother to be strong in war? Because ein somchen al hanes. God doesn't like to do miracles. Hashem doesn't like to do miracles, says the Rabbah. So do your ishtapos. Go out and fight the battle and be strong. Hashem will help you. But Hashem doesn't like to do miracles. Ask them a question, 1 second. If it's all pre-programmed anyway, so why doesn't God like to do miracles? It's pre-programmed, so who cares? But it's not any more effort by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why wouldn't he want to do miracles? Get involved. So that is why Rov Rishonim assume not like the Rambam. And this is the approach that we'll spend some more time on. The Ramban. Top five Rambans a la Torah. All right, got another top tens, top fives. This is definitely in the top five. Maybe in the top two even. It's the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. Many of you might be asking before. The Ramban asks Akasha. Ramban asks, why is it, or like take a step back, how many mitzvahs are there that we have in Halacha that are they're there to help us remember Maimon Har Sinai? How many mitzvahs do we have to remember Maimon Har Sinai? How many? Maybe one. Which one? Birchas HaTorah. Maybe it's a mitzvah, maybe it's not a mitzvah. Name one. How many mitzvahs do we have to remember that God surrounded us with the Anan HaKavod? How many? One. How many mitzvahs do we have to remember the walls of Yericho falling down? Zero. Right? How many mitzvahs do we have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? About 15. Kiddush. Pesach, Matzah, Pidyon Aven, Tefillin, Mezuzah. Keep going. They're all connected. There's about 15, 10 to 15. Ask the Ramban. Why isn't it even close? It's not even close. Let's give the mashal. It's not exact mashal, but it's a nice, interesting thought. How many mefarshim do we have? How many svarim do we have explaining Rashi al HaTorah? How many svarim do you think there are in the past 900 years that help expand Rashi al HaTorah? About 600. All right, it's Yad Kislev today. So Lubavitcher Rebbe himself has like six of them. About what the... explaining 600... Who's in second place? Which commentary has the next most svarim explaining that commentary? The Ramban al HaTorah. How many svarim were there written by the Ramban al HaTorah on explaining the Ramban al HaTorah? About 10, 15. There you go, it's fine. It's not even close. Yetzias Mitzrayim was an amazing event. Why are there so many mitzvos? Explains the Ramban as follows. Says the Ramban, if you never saw the Ramban inside, you got to see it inside at some point soon. Says the Ramban, in the history of the world, there have been many heretics. Many different types of kofrim. Some types of kofrim, they deny everything. They reject everything, and they say there wasn't a creator. Nothing. The world is just here. Said the Ramban, but most don't think that because that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Look around. Well, usually when there's an explosion, afterwards there's a big mess. There's not like a perfect world. Doesn't make sense that there wasn't a creator. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, the greatest raya that there is a God, just simple, is the human eye. The human eye, I mean, the lenses and the reflection, what, that just happened? How a human eye works, it's like unbelievable. The Rambam says, the biggest raya that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So the Ramban says, okay, there were others that, there was a creator, but you know, he's a busy God. He's not around, he doesn't know what's happening. He created the world and then he went to some other universe. So there are those that reject everything. There are those that say there was a creator, but he's busy. And there are those that say, no, there's a creator and he knows what's going on, but he's not involved. He can't do anything he wants. He's not all powerful. Says the Ramban, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to undermine these beliefs in one fell swoop, in a second, and disprove all of them, what does he do? Performs an ace. Because if he performs an ace, that shows there was a creator, there is a creator, there's somebody who's continuing to create every second, and he knows what's going on, and he's involved, and he can do whatever he wants. That's what an ace does. It proves Hashem. And if it's forecast by a Navi, it's even more. This is what's going to happen in a second. They're all disproved. And then the Ramban says, he continues and says, through the open miracles then, we must realize that life, everything in life is a miracle. Just because we're used to something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every second, and he has a very strong language. Ein, I got the exact lashon. Ein lo adam b'chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have a chelek in Torah. Ad shenamin, until we believe, b'chol mikreinu v'something, ein bahem teva klal. What's with teva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're breathing? That's normal? It's only normal because we're used to it. Every morning we say, Pokeach Ivrim, Malbish Arumim, Rokeach Ares Alamayim. They used to say that in the olden days when they did the actions. It was more meaningful. Now we don't know it by heart, so we say it all in shul. But says the Ramban, all the minanisim hagadolim hamufursamim atemode benisim anistarim. That's his lashon. Through the open miracles, you realize that everything is nes, and that's why there are so many mitzvahs that are zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim, because that was the most miraculous time period in Jewish history, and Hashem wants us to focus on that. So we realize that for the past 2,000 years, where we haven't had open miracles, the last open miracle we had that defied nature was the Neis Pach HaShemen. Maybe Beitar. Oh, besides that for now, the one that affected all of Klal Yisrael was the Neis Pach HaShemen. Says the Ramban, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makas Bechoras, that whole time period, even Kriyas Yamsov is part of that, Yitzias Mitzrayim, that is why there's such a focus on it, because that's what we have to realize throughout our lives. That everything is miracles. And therefore, if you take a step back for a second, I'll take a question in a second. Take a step back, the Ramban is exactly the opposite of the Rambam in mentality. If the Rambam said there's no such thing as nes, it's all teva, because it's all pre-programmed, the Ramban says just the opposite. There's no such thing as teva. It's all nes that we're used to. And if we could say, the Ramban is telling us that Mother Nature has a father. There's a mashkiach every second. Rambam and Ramban. We're going to focus now on the Ramban because that's the one that's more accepted generally. Yes? You like them closer if you want also. Oh yeah, we got an outlet. Okay. Does it remove our Bechira Chachas? Maybe for that second, but that's the point. The purpose of life is not to have open miracles because then we have to remember them. But you know what? There were people in history that see open miracles and still don't believe. Right? The Mitzrayim see Kriyas Yamsov, but what they say? Let's go! Let's get them! That's one of the most amazing psukim in all the Torah. Right, it was hidden, but it was an open miracle. But they were blind. Right? What does the Gemara say at the beginning of Brachas? If Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kachatzos. Why? If he would have said, Chatzos, then if the Mitzrayim had their watches off by a minute, and all the firstborns would have all died at the same second at 12:01, they would have said, wow, what a coincidence. That's pretty amazing. Moshe was totally wrong. He said it was going to happen at 12. It happened at 12:01. They all died the same second. What a coincidence. They would have been blind. See, even open miracles, right, you could misinterpret. Rambam versus the Ramban. Yeah. I don't think he goes out of his way, but every so often he performs it, even for us also. Not just for Kofrim, for us. I forgot to mention, Rav Asher Weiss even points out that the word nes, miracle, has a different meaning as well. We say it three times a day. Where do we say nes three times a day? In Tekabe Shofar. The son nes l'kabes goliosenu. What does nes mean in that context? It means a flag, a banner. Hold the flag up. What is a flag? A flag, let's say you're in a huge stadium. You can't see. Like, see somebody, hi, I'm over here. I'm waving something. It's an identification. A nes identifies. Hi, I'm here. Remember? That's what a nes does. But he said that's exactly the point of the Ramban. Because a nes reflects that Kadosh Baruch Hu was always involved. Two of the great Achronim used this idea of the Ramban to help explain other Makoros. First, the Meshech Chachma. Rav Meir Simcha, one of the greats from Dvinsk, uses this Ramban's idea to help explain something that we do every day. There are two Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Brachas that we know that if we say Ashrei three times a day, it's a one-way ticket to Olam Haba. Kol Amar Tilo L'David B'chol Yom. Olam Haba, great. But Yeshua says there, you got to say it properly. You can't just like zoom through it. Okay, but you got to say it three times a day. Yet there's another Gemara. The Gemara says, if I say Halal HaGadol B'chol Yom, if I say Halal Gadol, which might not mean what we call Halal, it means what we say Shabbos morning. The Kilo Olam Chasto. The whole paragraph of Kilo Olam Chasto, Harezeh Macharef U'Magadif. That's blaspheming. That's cursing God. Ask the Meshech Chachma, the beginning of Parshat B'chukosai, what's the difference? They're both Tehillim. Why, if I say Ashrei every day three times, I get Olam Haba, and if I say Halal HaGadol every day, I'm cursing God? Says the Meshech Chachma, because what's each one about? Ashrei is about Teva. Ashrei is about Kodesh Baruch Hu taking care of the world. Poseach Es Yadecho must be L'chol Chai Ratzon. Karov Hashem L'chol Karov. Chanun V'rachem Hashem. It's about Hashem in nature. That's beautiful to say every day. If I say Halal HaGadol every day, you know what that's reflecting? God, you're in charge of the miracles. Yeah, but not, that's it? Hashem's only in charge of the miracles? That's what would be reflected. If I said Halal HaGadol B'chol Yom, and that would be blasphemy, because that would be saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not in charge of Teva, he's only in charge of the miraculous. Once in a while you could say it because you're remembering a miracle that happened that day. Next week we're going to say Halal every day because you're remembering the miracle that happened. But says the Meshech Chachma, that's the difference. Based on the Ramban, because we have to realize even Teva is really nice. And that's the Galus of Asher. Meshech Chachma. Rav Dessler, the Michtam Eliyahu, he also uses the Ramban's idea to give us an appreciation in the world around us. Says Rav Dessler, imagine you're standing in your kitchen, you're washing some dishes, you're looking out the window into the backyard, and all of a sudden you see the ground start rumbling. What's going on? What's happening? You're holding up. And all of a sudden, out of the grounds, you see a finger shoot out of the ground. You're like, oh. You're like, take out your thing, your camera, your right? And all of a sudden, after the thing, you see a hand come out of the ground. Oh my God, you faint, you come to. And then an arm. And then a butt. You witness Tchias HaMeis. Mamash, it's unbelievable. You can't. It's on all the news stories. Cesar Dessler, what's the difference between that? And you're looking in the same place. You see the ground start rumbling. And all of a sudden, you see a leaf come out of the ground. And right after the leaf, you see a little branch shoot out from the leaf. And after the branch, you see a bigger branch. And then you see a trunk, and you see a tree grow. What's the difference? Why did that not do it for us? We see trees all the time. What? It makes sense that you put a seed in the ground, and I get apples. Says Rav Dessler, it's no different than Tchias HaMeisim. It's all just what we're used to. And a tree growing is also the miraculous. As the Ramban says, Ein minhago shel olam klal. The Meshech Chachma and Rav Dessler using the words of the Ramban. If we take this idea of the Ramban, we could also get a deeper appreciation into three institutions that are very dear to us. Tefillah, Yerushalayim, and Eretz Yisrael in general. Go through each one of those, and then we're going to wrap up with Hanukkah. Tefillah. There is a well-known machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether davening every day is a mitzvah or not. Mitzvah daraisa. The Rambam tells us that there is a mitzvah every single day to daven. Mitzvah daraisa. And he gives it a very primary place. We know the Rambam has his own sefer mitzvos, his own 613, His order is somewhat unusual. We're not exactly sure about his order. The Sefer HaChinuch goes al Sefer HaParsha. But the Rambam has clusters of mitzvos. But the first ones, you would think, are pretty big. The ones that he puts first. Mitzvah number one for the Rambam is belief in Hashem. Mitzvah number two, Yichud Hashem. Hashem Echad, belief in the uniqueness of God. Mitzvah number three, Avas Hashem. Mitzvah number four, Yiras Hashem. Mitzvah number five, Davin. The first mitzvah about doing something is davening. It's tefillah. It's pretty big. The Rambam puts it as number five. So it's a mitzvah daraisa to daven every single day. All the details of davening are drabana. But it's a mitzvah daraisa to daven every single day. And the Ramban argues. The Ramban says, you do not have to daven every day, midaraisa. Midrabana, you have to daven every day. But midaraisa, you don't have to. The only time you have to daven midaraisa, according to the Ramban, Eisara, like as Mana said. But Eisara, a time of national danger, national calamity, when Am Yisrael is in need, that's when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban. Rav Salvation gives a beautiful idea, which I think you would probably admit is not the pashtus, but it gets a message across. Says Rav Salvation, maybe the Rambam and the Ramban fundamentally both agree that davening d'oraisa is only be'es tzara. Only time when there's tzaras. You know what their machlokas is? How do you define es tzara? The Ramban says es tzara is es tzara. We know when there's national, when people are getting killed. Rahman al-Islam, when there's terrible things going on. That's es tzara. You know what the chiddush of the Rambam is? Life is an es tzara. Every day. You're healthy, we still say Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa. Everything's going well, I'm brilliant, I still say Atachon in the Adam Das. Because who knows what tomorrow's going to bring. Every day of normalcy in my life is a bracha on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Life is an Eis Tzara, that's why you have to daven every single day. Just because it happened yesterday doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. That idea, got to work out Rambam Ramban, but that idea is exactly what we've been talking about. Life is a potential Eis Tzara. There's a great Gemara in Baba Basra. Ayin Dalidish. It's not on the base. There's a whole Rabbi Barbachana stories. There's like 15 stories of him. See, he tells a story. That one time he was on a boat and they saw an island. They're like, wow, let's go go off to the island. So they all go to they take a little boat to the island and they leave their big boat and they start relaxing on the island and they start swimming and then they start cooking because they want to have a barbecue. They start cooking and all of a sudden the island starts shaking. And they quickly jump back into their boat and they go away, and all of a sudden they realize it was a humongous whale. It wasn't an island. That's the story. Sometimes we think we're on an island. We think the ground is firm. And sometimes crazy things happen that all of a sudden the ground starts shaking under us. We realize we're on a whale. Eis tzara, life is an eis tzara. The Ramban said, right? Our idea. There's no teva. Tefillah. Number two, Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yerushalayim ki ir shechubra lo yachdav. It's a city that things come together. What comes together in Yerushalayim? What comes together? So the Gemara tells us in Zvachim that two shvatim come together in Yerushalayim. That's why David HaMelech chose Yerushalayim. He moved from Hebron to Yerushalayim. Because after taking the Malchus away, so to speak, from Shaul, who was from Binyamin, he wanted to make sure the Jews were united. So he, from Yehuda, goes to Yerushalayim. That was the border city. The border goes right through the Beis HaMikdash between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yerushalayim connects Yehuda and Binyamin. What does each of those Shvatim symbolize? Says the Netziv in Parshas Vayechi. He's medayeg in a pasuk of Kinas David, beginning of Sefer Shmuel Beis, when David is mourning Shaul. The pasuk says, "Lelamed lebnei Yehuda keshes," to teach the bnei Yehuda arrows. The Netziv explains, David HaMelech is about teva. You have to fight wars. David HaMelech fought a lot of wars. Shaul Binyamin is nes. Binyamin's about Nes. Teva and Nes come together, says the Netziv. That's Yerushalayim. And we even feel it, because when you go to Yerushalayim, there's something in the air. You feel it. You feel the roofings. It's not just another city like all other cities. It's a city the world thinks is a normal, natural Teva city, but we know it's totally miraculous. It's a totally miraculous city. Teva and Nes. There's no Teva. That's Yerushalayim. And finally, Eretz Yisrael itself. Yesterday's Daf Yomi, actually. It's this described how though during the 40 years of the Midbar, the Aron was in the middle of Am Yisrael, when it was time to cross the Yarden, what happened? The Aron went to the front. And Yeshua ben Nun says the Aron's going first. The Kohanim carry the Aron into the Yarden. Remember the story? Their feet go in. The Yarden splits. The Jews go through. But Yeshua says Aron goes first. V'halachtem achra, follow the Aron. Asks, Yad Kislev. Ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Right? Why does the Aron have to go first into Eretz Yisrael? Why can't they do it? They've been doing it for 40 years. Why does the Aron have to go first? Explains the Lubavitcher Rebbe beautifully. What does the Aron symbolize? The Aron is made up of raw materials. Wood, gold. It was crafted. It's physical. But all the properties of the Aron are supernatural. Chazal say, Aron Einam and Amida. It shouldn't have fit into the Kodesh Kodashim. It was too big. It should have been too heavy to carry. But what does the Gemara say? Nosei es Nosa. It carried those who carried it. Right, after the Kohanim split the Yardane, remember the story? They took a step back. So the Yardane closed, and now they're stuck on the other side. The Aron flew the Kohanim over to the other side. The Aron was physical, but it was totally supernatural. You're going into Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua ben Nun says, follow the Aron. Aron's going first. Because you now are going into a land that you're going to have to work the land. Right? It's not like the Midbar where everything was miraculous and our shoes grew with us. You're going to have to go shopping. You're going to have carpools. Right? You're going to have to work the land. You're going to have to daven for rain. Eretz Yisrael looks very natural. But no, everything about it is supernatural. Follow the message of the Aron. Because it doesn't make sense that the land of Israel exists. As we know, surrounded by enemies. Everything about Eretz Yisrael, it looks like Teva, but it's really nice. So, what did we do so far? Machlokas Rambam and the Ramban had a view Teva and Nes. Using the Ramban's idea, we saw the usage in the Meshech Chachma and the Mifta Melio, or Dessler. Now we just related it to Tefillah and Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. And maybe this is even the message of Hanukkah. We know there are two miracles. Actually, take that back. There are two events. Two events that we commemorate on Hanukkah. The war, Rav Ben Miatim, and the oil. The Nes of the Pach HaShemen that lasted for 8 days. The famous question of the base, it's known as the question of the Beis Yosef, but really the Meiri already asked the question many years, 200 years before the Beis Yosef. Why is it 8 days, not 7 days? I used to have a sefer with 100 answers to that, but a couple of years ago, Talmidim bought me a sefer with 500 answers to that question. Okay, they're all very similar, some of them. But anyway, so there are two things that we commemorate. We commemorate the war and we commemorate the oil. So we would have thought that on Hanukkah, we do two things. We light a Chanukiah, and we say Hallel and sing Al HaNisim. So it would have been very neat to say it's one for one. Why do we light the Chanukiah? In order to remember the miracle of the oil. Why do we say Hallel and Al HaNisim? To remember the Nes, to remember the event of the war. That would have been very neat. Problem is, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Shabbos, my Hanukkah, Chafal from a base. The Gemara asks, my Hanukkah, what's the story of Hanukkah? You got to ask that question because there's nothing in Torah Shabbosav about it. So the ghost told through the whole story that we were in the Yevanim, we couldn't find an Pach Shemen. So we finally found one, and it lasted for 8 days. And because of that, the Gemara ends off. Because of that, what? What are we expecting? Because of that, he created a holiday with Hallel and Hodah. Rashi says Al HaNisim. So that's blurring the lines. That's the oil. Why do we light a Chanukah? How do we commemorate the oil? By saying Hallel. And it's even earlier than the Gemara. Probably the oldest song that we have outside of Psukim in Tanakh could be the oldest song that we have is Haneiros Hallel. That's from Masechta Sofrim. It's way back, very old, before the Mishnah. Haneiros Hallelu, what does Haneiros Hallelu say? It describes the war. Haneiros Hallelu, Nakamad Al Nisim, Al Nifos, Al Shus, Al Machamos, Shasis Al Abaseinu, Bayamim Az Banazeh, Aydek Manach Al Doshim. So we're talking about the war. And we're talking about the candles. So it's just the opposite. We light the Chanukiah to remember the war. We say Hallel to remember the oil. How is it switching here? So the Mefarshim explain Maybe it's based on one word in the Rambam. The Rambam says, you know what the purpose of the candles are? Laharos ulegalos hanes. It's in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah. To show and to reveal the miracle. What do you mean reveal a miracle? Explain the Mefarshim. Really, the challah that we say and the focus is what is Hanukkah about? It's about winning the war. It's about getting Judaism back. Well, you know, you didn't even need the nace of the oil, right? Tumot Shevetzibur. It's all about the war. But you know what? If it was just the war, we might have had the misimpression that it was all natural. We might have had the misimpression that it's teva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nace. Hashem did mamish a nace. The oil lasted for 8 days. In order to be megale on the war, that was also a nace. It wasn't just the underdog happened to win. It was laharos ulegalos. To uncover, to reveal. Because that's what the message of Hanukkah is. To realize that the war is not teva. To realize it's all nes. Laharos ulegalos. It's a holiday of that Ramban's message. To realize our life is not just teva. Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in every facet. We know Hanukkah is always at the darkest time of year. It's always the longest nights. Tevis, Cheshvan, Kislev, right? They're all at the darkest, and Dafka now. It's no coincidence. Because in the darkest of times, the light shines through. That's the message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shining through. And this relates to the shiur that we didn't give. That's the parallel to Ner Mikdash. The Gemara says, shouldn't say the Gemara, the Rambam paskins that we light the mitzvah in the base of Mikdash, just to light the menorah, every single night, the Rambam says, and every single day in the morning. The Rambam, not like Rashi, the Rambam says, you also light the menorah in the morning. Why do you light the menorah in the morning? It's light. Based on the Gemara and Shabbos, because the light in the menorah is not just to give off light. It's to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to us. Tashras HaShechina. And that's why the candle never went out. Right, it lit continuously. Miraculously. Because that's what the menorah was about in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what our Chanukiyot are about. So as we light the Chanukiyot in a couple of days, our job is to appreciate Laharos Ulegalos inside of us. To realize, especially in our day and age, what's happening and going on now. We're not living at a simple time. And Bederech HaTeva, nobody knows what the answer is. No governmental official knows what to do. No idea. But we know the Jewish people are not run by Teva. We're run by Nes, we're run by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Ramban's Lashem, and Anisim HaNistarim, Nisim HaGluyim, Atamodeh B'Nisim HaNistarim. And we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring us a Yeshua today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that power. He could do it. It's not beyond. And through the lighting, it should be a tefillah, it should be a schus with our Allah Nisims. We should be zocha to have that gilui HaNes, from here of Yemen.